Blog Talk Radio.
Your questions, your health. This is Mind Matters.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mind Matters. My name is Zoheb, and I will be your host for today. Mind Matters is a radio show produced by My Sahana, which is a South Asian mental health nonprofit. Before we begin, we are thrilled to announce the new partnership between My Sahana and Palo Alto Medical Foundation. Between the two organizations, we hope to better serve the South Asian community to improve physical and emotional health. Now let's go ahead and start our show. We're doing this radio show to hear your voice and get your questions answered and talk to you about what's on your mind. Today, we have a great show for all of you. We are talking about bullying, an issue which, unfortunately, is becoming a huge problem. We want to know what your questions are and what your thoughts are on bullying. So give us a call. You can call us in at 347-539-5798. You can also send us a Facebook message at facebook.com/MySahana or tweet us at MySahana. There are so many ways to get in touch with us, and we want to answer your questions today. I'm also extremely excited because we have a very special guest with us on the show to answer all your bullying questions. She is a licensed MFT, National Board Certified Counselor, and CAMFT Certified Supervisor. She has experience coordinating and implementing parent education and support programs, providing training and workshops for teachers and parents, and has been dedicated to enhancing the lives of children, youth, their families, and those who serve them. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you all Nikki McCallum. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Well, I provide a number of services, as you already mentioned so eloquently. I provide therapy services to children, adolescents, and families. I do education and training for teachers and clinicians and provide workshops and trainings for people who are in the field of mental health and working with children who need advocates.
Great. So why don't we go ahead and dive into the topic of bullying. So in your experience, bullying is most likely to occur in which age group?
Well, one thing we've discovered more and more is that it's much more difficult to predict specifically which age group bullying is going to affect because, in truth, bullying is affecting all ranges of children and youth. And we also see it, of course, in the adult world, in the workplace at times. But predominantly with younger children and preschool children, they are more vocal about it. They might talk about it more freely. They haven't developed those defense mechanisms yet that prevent them from talking to their parents about certain things. So we may hear about it more in that age group, and also because there's a higher level of supervision, we might see it more as adults and caregivers. But the reality is that for a lot of teens, they're also experiencing particularly high levels of bullying. And in that population, they're much more likely to keep the information to themselves. There's a real culture amongst adolescents and also latency age children about not talking about things that happen amongst their peer group with adults. And so sometimes because of that and that fear of that sort of quote-unquote snitch mentality, that children then don't reveal to their parents or to their caregivers what exactly is going on for them. So the reported information is not the best indicator of what is actually happening necessarily for any particular age group.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is very understandable. And that's why, so what are some of the warning signs that you have as a parent that your child is being bullied, because that's something that is not very obvious all the time?
That's true. There are a number of different warning signs that can come up when a child's being bullied. Some of the more obvious ones are if you see your child come home with torn or damaged or maybe even missing pieces of clothing, shoes, books, or other belongings that you know that they left home with and they didn't return with when they came back to the house. That's something to keep an eye open for. Unexplained cuts, bruises, and scratches can be indicators of possible physical abuse and taunting. It's also common to see a kind of fearfulness about going to and from school at times. You'll find your child has been perfectly happy to go to school before or to a social event before, suddenly seems a little less willing, a little bit more withdrawn about it. They might find that riding the school bus or taking part in organized activities with peers like clubs and things like that is something that they're now pulling back from when before they were so enthusiastic to participate in. Another way is you'll see people taking a long time to get home from school or arriving late, possibly because they're taking long, illogical-type routes to school, the way that you wouldn't take the most direct route to get there. They're walking to try and avoid certain people or situations on their route. It can also manifest in a loss of interest in their schoolwork or their grades dropping. With younger children, sometimes, you know, a sudden loss of interest in certain types of play dates or interactions with the peers. Other strong signs can be when your child starts complaining of headaches or stomach aches or other kind of physical ailments, either to avoid participating in activities or just in general, you just notice an increase in those kind of somatic experiences for your child. Okay. Other children might show loss or marked increase in appetite. You see your child suddenly not eating when they come home or excessively eating for self-comfort and soothing. Sometimes if it's a severe problem, you might see trouble sleeping, frequent bad dreams, difficulty falling asleep. So all of those can be indicators. And then there are the sort of more classic mood-related ones where you notice your child tends to be more sad, possibly, and moody than they usually are. They might be more teary, more prone to outbursts. They might seem more depressed and withdrawn, or might seem more anxious and jumpy. All of these things are possible indicators. Others are if you see a child who has been pretty self-confident, self-assured, suddenly seems less sure of themselves. Their self-esteem doesn't seem as strong. And they might indicate a lack of hopefulness about things, like, oh, there's no point in doing that. I'm not going to get there or I'm not going to do well. So a sense of hopelessness can also be an indicator. And one of the strongest, because these are, you know, children and adolescents whose prime focus is their peers and outside of the home, is when they start isolating away from their friends and their peers. And they start not participating in as many social activities as they have in the past and that you witnessed them participating in the past. So it's quite a few different possible signs, and obviously there are other things too, but if your child shows any of these signs, it doesn't necessarily mean that he or she is being bullied, but it's definitely worth exploring if you're noticing, you know, 2, 3 or more items from this list that I just went through.
Thank you so much for all that wonderful information. So we are talking with Nikki McCollum, MFT and board certified counselor. If you have questions, comments, thoughts on bullying, or anything like that, please give us a call at 347-539-5798. That's 347-539-5798. You can leave us a message on our Facebook fan page at MySahana or tweet us at MySahana. And we definitely look forward to hearing your questions and thoughts today. So we talked about some of the warning signs that your child is being bullied. Now, let's say that some of these signs are not as obvious to the parents. How can parents talk to their kids to learn more about whether or not they are being bullied?
You know, I think that's a really important question, because I think a lot of parents at times don't know how to approach this issue. It's anxiety-producing for parents as well, because no one wants to think of their child as the victim of bullying, and it can be a very emotional experience. Parents start questioning themselves about, am I being the kind of parent I want to do? Am I doing a good job as a parent? And it's really important to remember that those are not necessarily factors that contribute to your child being bullied. That's just a reality that occurs in life and for a lot of young people, that they're exposed to bullying. And if we can just focus on the best way to support and help them, that's the best we can do to help them. Sorry to repeat myself. We can talk about the situation, and although often reluctant at first, many children who are bullied, they will open up if they're in the right environment. You know your child better than anyone, and so you might have a good sense of what that environment is for them, a particular safe place they like in the home or a place they like to go, a walk that they often open up on if you go out for a walk or go to a certain location. A good place for a lot of children and youth to start this kind of discussion with them is in the car, or another place where you have little eye-to-eye contact. I know it would seem that eye contact would be really beneficial, but often for this kind of difficult discussion, it's easier for the child or the adolescent to be able to communicate with you while you're doing some other activity. It could be, as I said, in the car, going for a walk, chores together. There are a lot of different opportunities that present themselves, but sometimes making it a big grand gesture of sitting down and focusing on the issue puts too much pressure on the child and makes it too difficult for them to talk. It's really good to ask sort of general open-ended questions, things like, you know, tell me about your friends at school and how, you know, who do you hang out with? Who do you sit with at lunch? Who do you walk home with? And who sits next to you on the bus? Or, you know, a more direct, indirect question would be something like, are there any kids at school who you don't get along with? These are all good questions to ask your child, actually, regardless of whether you're concerned or not about bullying. They're great questions to use to keep in touch with your child, because it really then sets the stage for when something does come up, they're just that much more ready and attuned to talk to you about it. One of the hardest things to do sometimes is to really listen to what they're telling us, because we want to jump in and fix it. And it's so important that we can try and stay calm and be thoughtful and really hear what was going on for them. And remember, we can't promise that we're going to be able to fix everything, and we can't promise that we're not going to tell anyone, because that's one of the mistakes that we can often make, is this is a secret between us, I'm not going to tell anyone, because the reality is that if there is something significant going on, it's highly likely that we are going to need to talk to another person about it. And in that situation, it's really good to be upfront with your child and say, you know, it's better to admit that you may need to become involved in the situation, but you're going to do your very best not to get involved and not make the problems worse, so your child understands that it's a possibility. It's really important to remember that if you push too hard for information, it's likely that your child might shut down and not share with you. So being patient and allowing the child to tell you about their experiences at their own pace is typically the most effective way to elicit information. And it is difficult. It's really important as a parent we just take a deep breath and just, if we need to take time for ourselves after the discussion, we can do that. But in the moment, just try and stay present and be with the child and not try to fix everything.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great answer, Nikki. So we have our first caller.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air with Zoheb and Nikki. Tell us your name and your question.
Hi, Zoheb and Nikki. This is Maya.
Hi, Maya.
I just had a question about how can you tell if a child is gonna become like a bully? Like, how can you raise your child to not be a bully?
That's a really great question, Maya. Thank you for asking that. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things I think that a lot of parents fear and worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody wants to be the parent that other parents are contacting about their child. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
And so I think some of the things that we definitely can do from the word go is to really, as much as possible, talk about empathy? How do you think that makes your friend feel, whether it's a positive or a negative experience or an interaction that your child's involved in? The more we can sort of encourage them to think about things like that, how does that make the other person feel? Look at their face. Do you see how happy that made them, or do you see how sad that made them? Those kind of questions that encourage a child to think about the impact of the behavior on another person are really important, starting as early as possible, because they really do help to grow and develop empathy. I think other things to be aware of is if your child demonstrates a lot of their experience and their frustration through aggressive behavior, that's perfectly normal at a certain age and a certain point. It's young. It's very normal for young children to strike out, to fight and argue with each other. So that's not an immediate red flag. It's not time for parents to jump and panic and think, oh my goodness, my child is going to be awful or difficult or hurt other children. It's part of the process of learning to control and contain our emotions. And so it's about how they're then learning to control those impulses and what we can do to help them manage that, whether it be teaching them to count to 10 or deep breathing or jumping jacks or anything that you can use, any tool in your toolbox that will help them learn a different way to channel and focus any kind of negative or aggressive energy in a way that's not going to hurt or harm another person. That definitely makes a big difference when we're working with young children and we're trying to help them learn more and more about how to behave. So does that help you sort of understand a little bit about that piece of the question?
Yeah, I think unfortunately Maya had she hung up. So I'm sure your answer was more than beneficial.
Thank you. I think it's really important to remember that we play such an important role in making our child aware of other people's feelings. And the more that we discuss, you know, the situation with the child as soon as possible before a behavior becomes a routine or a pattern, it really helps us to deal with that. If I could just speak to a couple of other things that may be relevant to Maya's question. It's that, you know, sometimes, you know, with young children, we don't yet know the importance of understanding what the feeling of others mean. And we can help them by setting rules for them at home, how to behave and what we expect of them. Good manners are always a useful tool in life. Supervising activities, making sure we're around to see how play is going and how interactions are going. Not stepping in immediately, but stepping in if we need to help shape and retrain and re-educate the behavior. And really, one of the most important things that we can do is leading by example. How we behave is what our children see every day. So if we learn to control our anger and show sensitivity and respect for others, then that's a lesson that we pass on and they can learn from us. If your child is starting to show some bullying behavior, it's really important that that discipline doesn't involve punishing them through physical force, like corporal punishment or spanking, because one of the things that can come from that is that physical punishment only really strengthens the belief that people can get what they want through aggression. It doesn't really help to change the child's behavior. So, you know, that's an important factor when we're looking at how we're going to handle these issues.
I think that's a great tip that you just mentioned, Nikki, but what if, on the flip side, what should children do if they are being bullied?
If children are being bullied, there are a number of different things that children can do. I think one of the most important things for children to understand and that we can teach our children to help them understand is that it's not their fault. There's nothing that they've necessarily done to trigger the behavior. Bullies target children that they think they can separate from the pack. Bullies look for an easy target. That doesn't mean a child is weak or that a child isn't doing a good job or the child isn't going to be successful or anything else. It's just a matter of them singling out someone that's other and different. It may be someone they perceive as weak or it may be someone they perceive as a threat. So it's really important for you to bear that in mind when you observe what's going on or you're talking to children. Some of the things that you can really do to help your children is to really help them to be more self-assured. The more confident your child is able to act and the more confident and self-possessed they can behave, the less likely people are to see them as easily scared or as potential targets. That can come through teaching them how to use strong body language, you know, standing up straight, looking another child in the eye, speaking firmly. It's really important for children to present themselves as confidently as they can, because that, again, helps identify the fact that they're not necessarily a potential target. But it's never the child's fault.
Right. Well, we also now have a question from Twitter from Sonil, who wants to know, is it a good idea to tell children to fight back against bullies?
That's a great question. Thank you for that question. Whenever possible, children should not fight with a bully. It's to fight or retaliate with verbal or written insults does not help to alleviate the situation. It can often help to exacerbate the situation, to make it worse. Now, that's not to say that a child who is being threatened or attacked in some way, or, you know, someone, if they need to protect themselves, if they need to do certain things to keep their physical integrity safe, then they need to know that it is okay for them to protect themselves, which is very different than them physically going after or attacking another person. The risks with aggression are that it can lead to, you know, more aggression and escalate a situation that was verbal can become more physical, or if it's physical, it can end up resulting in a possible serious injury. It's important to teach children to call out for help from peers or to find an adult or a peer right away if they feel unsafe. But it's never a good idea for a child to fight fire with fire in a bullying situation.
Right. I completely agree with you, Nikki. So we've spoken a bit about what parents can do to help the child, but our schools also play a really big role in helping to discourage bullying. So what can schools do to sort of aid this whole process?
Well, schools do play a very important role. They play a critical role in stopping bullying because so much aggression does happen on school grounds. And that's true of preschool all the way through to high school. Most aggression will happen during recess, possibly in lunchrooms, or even at times in the bathrooms. So it's really important for schools to have a zero tolerance policy at the school to make it really clear that bullying will not be tolerated at all. School-based programs can really help reduce bullying because they raise awareness about it through school assemblies, classroom discussions of the problem. They could invite conversations, you know, healthy ways to control anger, some of the things we talked about a little bit earlier. They can teach the value of cooperation, positive communication skills, and friendship. A really wonderful tool that a number of schools use is peer mediation. It tends to come in more in the middle school level, but having peers help settle an incident on a school site, and having peers who are trained and monitored by a peer mentor can really help resolve the issue in a way that adult involvement may not. The more parents and teachers are involved and the school invites that kind of involvement, the better. Through PTA groups and organizations or other kinds of programming and raising funds for education for teachers to help them learn more about bullying and learn more about the tools to help deal with bullying. Increased supervision of children on school grounds. Again, parents can play a role in that potentially, where we want to make sure that when their kids are out of the classroom that there are sufficient people on the school grounds and available to catch those corners of the yard where things may be occurring if there's only one person or, you know, for a large area of playground. If you have more people present, there are more eyes on the situation and more can be done to step in before things escalate. I think for schools that have really strong, clear rules about behavior and what will and won't be tolerated, that already is a great preventative measure. But in addition to that, it's really important that if they're going to have those clear rules and behavior, that they're going to follow through with them and that they're going to be prepared to follow through with consequences if the bullying does occur. Because that sends a real message to the students that adults are serious about the problem and they're not going to get away with the behavior. It also encourages children who are not involved in bullying to report any incidents that they see, and it creates an increased level in confidence for a child who may be being bullied that if they do speak up, someone is going to act and help them on, you know, step in on their behalf. So all of these are some of the different tools that can be used, and you can, you know, anyone can help their child's school develop bullying policies by becoming involved in the parent-teacher organizations or volunteering to help teachers, because teachers do so much for our children, are one of the most underappreciated groups and do some of the most valuable work. And so the more that we can be there to support them rather than point fingers, the more that we can help this issue.
I definitely agree with you, Nikki. What about online resources? What sort of resources are available for people to go and look up information?
If you want to look at some bullying resources, some great places to look are the PACER Center. It's a National Center for Bullying Prevention in helping to promote awareness and teach effective ways to respond to bullying. And you can learn more about them at PACER.org. That's PACER.org. And then Stomp Out Bullying is another great organization which is focused on reducing bullying and cyberbullying, which is something we could talk about too, which has definitely been on the increase. And you can find out more on their website at stompoutbullying.org. Then the Trevor Project runs a lifeline, a 24-hour national crisis and suicide prevention lifeline that's predominantly focused for gay and questioning teens, and you can reach them at thetrevorproject.org.
Awesome. Well, great. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time. So I know, time flew by. If our listeners want to contact you with further questions on bullying, what would be the best way for them to do that?
They can contact me through my website, which is www.nickymccallum.com, and that's NickyMacCallum.
Great. So thank you so much for a great and very informative show, Nikki.
Wow, it went by so fast.
I know, it really did, but you gave some great information, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you so much. It was an honor, and thank you to the callers also. I really appreciated talking.
Thank you. I also wanted to briefly mention that bullying is not something that only children face, even though that we've covered quite a bit of that today, but adults as well. So we definitely do hope to cover this topic in a future show. For more information on My Sahana and on bullying, you can go to www.mysahana.org. A quick update on future My Sahana events. We have a fundraiser next Thursday, April 26th, at Sweet Tomatoes from 5 to 8. Please come by and show your support. We also have our first parenting workshop on May 19th. Next week, we have another great show for everyone as we discuss the topic of divorce. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. Join the conversation next week as we open minds to a healthier tomorrow.
Mind Matters is a radio show produced by My Sahana. To learn more about My Sahana, visit www.mysahana.org.